The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation. WTBQ.
Good morning and welcome to Health Matters. Why? Because your health does matter. My name is Peter Feller and I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. And joining me this morning, as she does every morning, is my wife, Ann Feller, who's Regional Director of Patient Services, as well as the Director of Quality Assurance at A&T Healthcare. Ann, say good morning to our listening audience as you do so nicely.
Good morning. It's great to be back this week.
It's going to be Ann and I today. We're back. We were on vacation last week. And I want you to know that we were able to listen to the show, and we want to. I did personally thank Jake Amir for a superb job he did filling in for us last week. But there's always something special where you're able to give it on a more public notice. But again, Jay, publicly for the listening audience of WTBQ, I want to thank you for the wonderful job that you did substituting for Ann and I last week. And I know, Jay, one of the things you said at the beginning, you said this was hard, but Peter loves to do this. Peter loves to do this, and you are so correct, Jay. I really do love to do it. I like to put all my energy into it, and I do want to thank you so much for doing it. As you know, A&T Healthcare, let me tell you a little bit about A&T Healthcare. We are a home healthcare agency. Offices in Newburgh, Kingston, Mount Kisco, New Jersey, and New York City, and our corporate office is in New City, New York. We're very honored, as I said, that we were part of your Thursday morning broadcasting on Health Matters, because we talk about health-related subjects. We're not controversial, contentious, or confrontational, but we are engaging, informative, and as I always try to be, entertaining. That's what's important. You want to be able to learn something, but you want to be able to do it in a fun manner. We do accept any kind of questions on different topics that are presented, and the number that you can reach us is 845-651-1110. I learned that from Frank. 1110. I always had trouble with the 1110, but it's 1110, 651-1110. And what a topic that we're going to be talking about is a seasonal affective disorder. We'll be getting into it, but we have a couple of little extraneous things we wanted to cover beforehand. As I said, Ann and I, we were on vacation last week, and here we're not here to discuss our vacation, but we did go on a cruise. And as you know, Ann and I, we are registered nurses, and I always feel wherever we go, we are representing A&T Healthcare. So we were able to have a reception with the captain and the actual crew, and Ann and I both went up to him and we said that, oh, you know, we're registered nurses and we do have a radio show up in Orange County, WTBQ, it's Health Matters. Oh, it really got the captain's attention. And I told him I specialize in infection control. And one of the daunting problems that cruise ships have is what is called a norovirus. It's also known as food poisoning or a stomach flu. And if a cruise ship ever has it, and every so often you read about it, it's really very traumatic for the particular cruise line, as well as the staff and the people that are on the cruise ship, because as I said, you're all together in one spot. And what they do is they go over and above to make sure that there are safe venues that it doesn't happen. And I commended the captain on a couple of things that they had. One was that they had the paper towels at the end of the bathroom, that when you were leaving, a lot of times people may wash your hands, dry their hands, but then when they go to the doorknob, that's contaminated.
Well, or for the ones who don't wash their hands and then touch the doorknob, you don't want to come and touch it after
that. Absolutely. And then whenever
not everybody does.
They have like the washy-washy where they spray your hands just to make sure that your hands are clean. And a lot of times, as we always stress in our program, is that preventive medicine is so important, is that you don't want to ever get to the stage where you have to control it, but the idea is that you always want to prevent it.
But they do. I mean, you saw them wiping down like the banister handrails and all the railings and such, that because that's what people touch. And that's, as we always say, washing your hands is always the most important thing to do. So, you know, keeping yourself safe wherever you are is important.
And we always remember, it's just as they said, that the cruise ship, you have many people who are all in, you know,
you're in a confined area.
Confined area.
For a long
that was the word I was looking for.
I mean, even though you might be getting off at different stops, you're all sleeping in the same hotel. You're you know, you're all eating in the same areas and things like that.
But we did go to Bermuda, and as I said, we were able to listen to it streaming live on, you know, I always talk about that, streaming live,
yes,
the broadcast,
it was
we were
good.
Able to listen to it. But as I said, we're always working, Ann and I, bringing a good show, but we spoke to our taxi driver as we were going. And one of the things that we picked up about Bermuda is they are rigidly strict on vaccines for children going into school. There's no wiggle room, there's no negotiation, and I think that was one of the things that happened in the United States, is they're now starting to tighten up. I think I just read something about meningitis now. They want to include that as one of the additional vaccines that you should be having when you're going to school, but they're very strict about that. The other thing that they said is that all flu shots are free.
All vaccines were free.
Yes, yes,
yeah.
Yes.
And flu shots as well.
Even in the United States, I saw a CVS. They said, they accept most plans, but as I said, it's not free. But this is something that, you know, the government does, and they do know that this kind of preventive medicine is very important, as well as, you know, to prevent any kind of, you know, specific outbreak or something that may actually happen. But it was a lot of fun. But as I said, when you're in this kind of field, you're always looking at it and always thinking, gee, is this right? Are they doing it good? And we always want to get interested. But it was a lot of fun. And again, Jay, thank you so much for being part of the show.
Thank you, Jay.
Week. Okay, we appreciate it. One of the things that I always talk about is that we have so many different topics, and I was joking with Ann, and I was, you know, talking to the three amigos as it relates, that when we first started this program, I was always concerned, gee, we're not going to have enough to talk about, and now I find that when I go into a program, we have too much to talk about. We have to figure out what we're not going to discuss, but one of the things is that we've had many different topics, and because we're talking about health matters, and your health does matter, it is important that we do follow-ups of different topics that we have had. And as you know, this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and there was an article, lo and behold, from the American Cancer Society. And as you said, whenever we're reporting anything like this, we always talk about the fact that this is the information that we have received from, in the newspaper and what our source is. But as we reported the last time on breast cancer, they were talking about the annual mammograms at age 40. Well, now the new one is that they're saying the age should be 45. It says women should begin annual breast cancer screening at age 45, according to the mammogram guidelines released Tuesday from the American Cancer Society. That's 5 years later than the society previously recommended, which we had reported on
Which has been in effect for a long time.
And originally they came out at 50, and I think then they were all very concerned. And as we always stressed, and one of the things that they were talking about, the new guidelines, is that they're saying is that there's a growing recognition that mammograms can do harm as well as good, says Richard Wender. He's the chief cancer control officer at the American Cancer Society, and that, you know, you can have false positive results, which can lead women to undergo additional tests and painful biopsies. Mammograms can lead to overdiagnosis. So, as I said, they are like assessing, you know, the particular information, but what we always stress is that this is something that is very personal, is something that you have to talk with your doctor. If there is any kind of, if there is kind of history that you may have in terms of breast cancer, it is important that you make that determination with your doctor. But as I said, we are reporting. They come up with different information, and they start changing it. But I just thought it was interesting that we just reported about it being 40, and now they've changed it to 45. But as I said, we stick to the same guidelines. The other thing, hello.
Well, remember when they develop these guidelines, they base it on data that they've collected over time. So
yes.
That's why they've changed it from 50 to 40, now 45. But always it depends on your risk factors and speaking to your doctor.
Yeah, so no, and that's what I said. We always like talk about it. It should really be with, you know, your relationship with the doctor. The other thing I thought was comical is that the World Health Organization is that they came out and they said that that they're concerned about processed meats raising the risk of colon and stomach cancer, and that red meat is probably dangerous too. Hello. This is stuff that the United States has been doing, okay? These results are not shocking from the United States, and many times we know about that, and we've spoken about it numerous times on this particular show. One of the things that they're talking about it is that they talk about it increases your risk of different kinds of cancer, particularly colon or stomach cancer. However, the other thing that we would stress, it increases your risk of heart disease. So you may not have cancer, but you may develop heart disease. And one of the things that they're talking about in the United States, the colon cancer rate has been declining. It is the number two cancer for women worldwide and number three for men, but our rates have been declining. And I want to base that on, Anne, if you can agree with me on this, is that we're really promoting the screening process.
The screening
that
the early, is, I think.
Early diagnosis, and that's something that is very
paramount.
Important. The other thing, very quickly, gee, I have so much stuff, but this all happened. We've only gone for 1 week. It seemed like we were in a time warp. But there was something in the newspaper about the antibiotic-resistant infections. Dr. Michael Dowd had spoken. He had said about how antibiotics develop a resistance to different antibiotics. And apparently in nursing homes, there seems to be an overuse of it. You know, this is from the Kaiser Health News that was published in the newspaper, you know, just saying that, you know, resident that they're saying that antibiotics are prescribed incorrectly from ailing nursing home residents up to 75% of the time. And they're always like concerned about this, about when things are going to be ordered and how they should be taking place. When we come back, a couple of things. We're going to talk a little bit about Movember, okay?
Oh, yes.
And then we will talk about our show, which is on seasonal affective disorder. You're listening to Health Matters. My name is Peter Feller from A&T Healthcare.
A&T Healthcare is a full-service home healthcare agency that works closely with your hospital discharge planner and other referral sources to ensure that all of you or your loved one's home healthcare needs are met. They provide short or long-term hourly or live-in home health aides, LPNs, and highly trained and qualified nurses and therapists as needed. A&T Healthcare has earned a reputation for dependability, responsiveness, and personalized attention. By working in conjunction with nursing departments, HMOs, managed care insurance companies, and other referral sources, they act as facilitators in planning and anticipating patients' needs at home. Call 845-638-4342 or visit at-healthcare.com.
Hi, this is Elon Gonzalez, host of El Sabor. Tune in every Sunday night at 8 p.m. for the new sound of Orange County and beyond. Dance and sing to pop and traditional Latino music right here on WTBQ, playing the best music.
Hi, this is Alan Fernandez. Join me at the Jazz Getaway with Miles Davis, John Coltrane, and Duke Ellington and more every Sunday at 7 p.m. on WTBQ.
WTBQ, feeling all right.
Okay, and welcome back to Health Matters. Peter Feller from A&T Healthcare, and joining me this morning is my wife, Ann Feller, also from A&T Healthcare. We're covering a lot of information at the very beginning, but as we know, November is coming up. It will be, when is it?
Sunday
will be November 1st. And one of the things, I know the Today Show, they always promote it so much, like all the broadcasters, Matt Lauer, you know, they're all growing beards and stuff like that. And the purpose of it is to bring awareness to men's health. Let me read you some statistics about men's health. Is that, did you know that prostate cancer is the second most common cause of cancer in men in the United States? As well as testicular cancer is the most common cancer in young men aged 15 to 34 in the United States, and that one in four adults in the United States will experience a mental health problem at any given year. And then they're talking about American men, about half, 53.8%, do meet the federal guidelines for physical activity, but I guess there's a lot that they're not doing. One of the key components of doing this, I know you can go online, I know there's a lot of donations that happen, is that when you grow a mustache, unless you already have a mustache, I'm facial hair challenged. I know we're joking about the three amigos. I know Dan's all set. He's already covered. But the idea is that when you grow a mustache, people say, oh, gee, you're growing a mustache. And that's the time where you say, no, it is Movember. Bring awareness to specific diseases that are related to men, and just to have like more of an awareness. So I think it's a great cause. So I had to mention it now because November is going to start on Sunday. So please think about doing it. I know a lot of places are doing it, but just to grow the way, just to keep people aware of it. I think
well, at least you're giving me a heads up this year.
I know we had a little, it was funny. Ann said, I think after a week, this is a true story. So after a week, she's looking at me. I guess the sun was hitting my face. She said, Peter, are you growing a mustache? I said, yes, I am. And she was disappointed that I didn't discuss it with her before I did it. But
I'm surprised I, said it was, I didn't see it sooner.
But I said it was because of a very good cause, because of Movember. Okay, let's talk. Right now, we're going to let's.
Well, the time is changing.
Now the time is changing.
The Halloween night, I guess. No, is it Saturday night? Right, it's Halloween.
Yes, you have to turn your clock.
And you're turning your clock.
Fall back.
So we're going to see more darkness earlier in the evening. So by 5 o'clock, it'll be dark.
Right. So one of the things that I have to say that I enjoy so much about this work that I do at A&T, particularly with education, by the way, a shout out to my students. I have a class going on in Newburgh, a nice shout out to them. But one of the things is that I am able to go out into the community, and certainly I'm doing it here in the community, having the radio station on WTBQ Health Matters. But I speak at senior centers, I speak at Rotaries, any of the community centers that we're, and I talk about health-related topics. And one of the things that sometimes happen is that they come to me and they say, gee, could you discuss this? And believe it or not, I did my research on seasonal affective disorder because this was a request from one of the nursing homes where they asked me if I wanted to present. So I did a lot of research on it. And I know, Ann, you and I always talk about it. It's like when it starts getting darker, you say, oh, boy, you're not feeling the same,
well,
right?
Well, you don't. And you get home from work, and it, for most of us, it's dark. And it's like, well, let me eat dinner and go to bed. I mean, normally, if it's summer in the summertime, when you get home, it's light for like 3 more hours, and you seem to have a lot more energy. So, the change in the season can affect how we feel physically and emotionally.
Yeah, it's like even on a smaller scale. Like, have you ever noticed if you had like several days of rain? Do I always have to be careful because in Orange County, that's farm country, and maybe a lot of times they may embrace, oh, gee, we have a lot of rain that's coming. That's good for the crops. But if you've ever noticed that, if you've gone like several days where the sun hasn't been out, you feel like a little down in the dumps. And then, but what about when it's sunny and clear? Don't you want to lift your head up and don't you want to go outside and walk around? Those are actually triggers that go on in your body. And as I said, one of the things that happened is that I always know that when it starts to get dark, I say, oh, gee, now the summer's over. And, you know, that I kind of enjoy the summer. I'm not a winter person or anything like
well,
that.
Well, that can be a little sad sometimes, too. Like, summer seems to be shorter and shorter every year. and now it's changing. The leaves are changing. The time is changing.
So, okay, but like what exactly is seasonal affective disorder? This is a specific thing, and as I said, people may have like varying degrees of it, but why don't you just go over what exactly is that?
Well, seasonal affective disorder, sometimes called SAD, is a type of depression, and it's related to the changes in the season. Often it's in the fall and the winter months, but there are times when this also occurs in the spring and summer months. So, it affects your day-to-day life. We all feel a little bit of the change coming, that it's going to be darker, it's going to be colder, the nights are going to be longer, the days are going to be shorter, and, you know, we're feeling a little maybe anxious or maybe a little sad about it. But when it becomes depression and it affects your day-to-day life, and it can certainly have a bigger impact.
Yeah, no, like a lot of times that you talk about like the winter blues or seasonal funk, okay? You know, like,
right.
Like people, you know, it's just the idea like, as you said.
After like 3 weeks of snow, it's like, oh, you know, by March, we can't take it anymore.
But what are some of the symptoms, Anne, that you might have as far as like with, seasonal affective disorder?
So some of the And just to let you know, there are some summer, like I said, spring, summer, but we're really talking about the fall and winter seasonal affective disorder, which are specific to a winter onset and sometimes called winter depression. And it does have the same symptoms of depression: irritability, tiredness, low energy, problems getting along with other people because you're irritable.
And so you're indoors cranky. All the time. Yeah, I mean, a lot of times.
You're indoors, you're not socializing maybe much, you're not going out as much.
And I know, Ann, that you like it so often. I know you really enjoy gardening so much. And like really in the wintertime, you're not doing any gardening.
No, I read anything. Books about what I'm going to do in the spring.
but that's, you know, and again, that's one of the things, like when you're able to exert yourself or go outdoors, that relieves a lot of the stress, and now you may not be able to do it.
It does. You know, people who are outside doing things during the warmer months, it's good. It's energizing. So now you're kind of set more sedentary. So what happens? You start maybe sleeping more. You might oversleep more. It's harder to get out of bed in the morning because it's dark. You know, this morning at 6:30, it was dark.
It was pitch dark, and I kept saying, well, Tina, this is how it's going to be at 5:30 next week. But just think about yourself, like if it's cold and damp and dreary outside, you really don't want to get out of bed. So it's still like the same idea. I know can we share that story with our little grandson? He woke up and he said, no, it's nighttime. He didn't want to go to school.
He didn't want to get up.
I have to go to bed.
It was so dark.
Yeah.
The sun wasn't awake yet, so why should he get up? And he was very cranky about it. Some of the other things are your appetite changes. And we're not only now affected with the weather change and the season change, and now the holidays are coming, so now our appetite changes. We tend to eat more. We tend to crave foods higher in carbohydrates. And then what do we see? We see weight gain.
You see weight gain. Oh.
And there's this theory about when the winter comes, it's colder, so your body kind of wants to hibernate. So it wants to hold on to some of that weight as well. So now we're like bombarded with all these things, and it can certainly affect our mood. And there are things that we can do to help us ourselves. So, you know, it depends on the severity, of course, of the symptoms. And, you know, if you find yourself that you aren't recovering so much from, like, the sleepiness or the irritability or the inability to motivate yourself to do things, then you really do have to think about seeking some assistance.
Right, I know, like, even we're talking about, like, the spring and summer, you know, like, the symptoms, as they said, that you have trouble sleeping. It's almost like it can be like a fall and winter as well as spring and summer. But as I say, this is something that you really have to pay attention to about what may be happening. This isn't something that I didn't realize that this is, but this is considered a form of depression. And as I said, we're not here on Health Matters that we're going to make any kind of a diagnosis or say that this is what it is. It's something that clearly is under the guise of a doctor.
Right. We want to make people aware of how things can affect us. And sometimes we shouldn't ignore some of these symptoms. Like when I get home and I'm sitting in the car and it's dark and I'm like, well, I really just feel like going to bed. Well, I know it's just because it's dark and cold and, you know, now I have to, well, now I'm making more soup, I guess.
Yeah, we bet.
But, you know, there are some risk factors as well.
Okay, but even like before that, even like as far as like with, we always remember that it is normal that, you know, you have days where you're feeling down and stuff like that. But I'm trying to figure out like as far as like, when you might want to see a doctor, well, what might be the part that would precipitate, it's getting to this point. As I always say, if your normal routine is really disruptive, that's an important indicator as to whether or not you should, you know, see, like, talk to your doctor about
right.
it.
Right. I mean, it, like you said, it is normal to have days that you feel down, like you don't feel motivated. You go to work, you come home, you go to bed, you get up. You know, it's not unusual. But if you feel that these days are prolonged and you can't get motivated to do activities that you normally enjoy, that you can't get motivated, then you do have to consider, you know, seeing your doctor. This is especially important if your sleep patterns are changing, if your appetite has changed, of course, if you have this feeling of hopelessness or you're starting to think about possible thoughts of suicidal type behavior, or you feel socially withdrawn where you can't even leave your home.
Yeah, those are
very serious, you know, complications and concerns that you should have.
Right, so. Now, I know like one of the causes, and I remember we talked about this, and this is, we always talk about, even Jay had mentioned this so often when we do research, we learn something, but we talk about the circadian rhythm, but we mentioned last week about women that work the night shift, particularly nurses or even it was flight attendants, that increases their risk of breast cancer. And the circadian rhythm really is just if there's a reduced level of sunlight in the fall and winter. And part of what it is that your body is programmed. I guess it goes back to, I don't know, the caveman days you sleep in the nighttime when it's dark and you're awake during the day.
Your circadian rhythm is a biological process for approximately 24 hours. So from, you know, a 24-hour period of a day. And it's self-sustaining, and it's usually adjusted by your environment. So if it's cold and dark, and your body now is adjusting to that. That's where that, like, extra 5-pound weight gain in the winter is like hibernation almost.
Yeah, and then we do talk about I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's okay. But your body is responding to daily cues, daily environmental changes. So
then, you know, we always talk about the serotonin level. Those are things that can be impacted as well as the melatonin level. We'll talk about that a little bit more. When we come back, you're listening to Health Matters. My name is Peter Pfeil from A&T Healthcare. And when we come back, we'll talk about some of the risk factors for seasonal affective disorder.
Hello, this is Tom Babington, Vice President of A&T Healthcare. A&T Healthcare, created in 1984 by two nurses, is a family-owned and operated home health agency managed by professional nurses. We have set the highest standards of quality care. A&T Healthcare provides a full range of in-home and private duty nursing services, from live-in to hourly home health aides and companions who can assist with basic daily care needs. We also have highly trained, experienced, and skilled nurses who are qualified to provide all levels of medical case management services. A&T also offers private duty home health aides, as well as private nurse placement for patients who are hospitalized and may have special needs or require extra attention. A&T Healthcare is dedicated to providing high-quality home health services for caregivers and families who are caring for loved ones at home with dignity. A&T provides home health services for newborns to seniors and is a New York State licensed service agency serving Rockland, Westchester, Orange, Dutchess, Putnam, Green, Ulster, Sullivan, Nassau, and Suffolk counties, as well as the five boroughs of New York City and New Jersey. When you contact A&T Healthcare, one of their trained and dedicated skilled nursing professionals will provide you with answers to those complicated questions at the time when you truly need someone to take your hand and help you through the maze of healthcare. For more information, please visit our website, at-healthcare.com, or call 845-638-4342 and get the answers that will give you peace of mind.
Hey, Ron and Amy and the Car Doctor here. Join me Sunday mornings, 8 a.m. The garage doors go up right here on WTBQ, radio worth listening to. If you've got a car problem, if your mechanic's giving you a busy signal, call me, 855-560-9900.
Hi, this is Austin DuBois of Bluestein Shapiro, Rich and Barone. Tune in every Friday at 10 a.m. for It's the Law and learn what the law is. Ask questions, get answers right here on WTBQ, radio worth listening to. WTBQ
weather. We still have some showers and gusty winds across the area this morning, and then skies will gradually brighten at times this afternoon. Our temperature is very mild and it stays breezy with a high over 70. Tonight clear and colder, down to the upper 30s to near 40. Mostly sunny tomorrow and cooler in the mid-50s. Clear, cold tomorrow night around 30, and increasing clouds on Saturday, highs in the middle 50s. From the WTBQ Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Tony Salima. WTBQ,
welcome back to Health Matters. My name is Peter Fallon, the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare, and joining me this morning is my wife, Ann Fallon, who's the Regional Director of Patient Services, as well as the Director of Quality Assurance. I tell you, you know what would help the seasonal affective disorder is just listen to a couple of lines of Feeling All Right by Joe Cocker. I tell you, that makes me feel good. Just that little segment, I'm ready to go. As I said before, my name is Peter Fallon, the Director of Education. I briefly talked about that I did a shout-out to our class that we have in the Newburgh office. And I do want you to know that A&T Healthcare, throughout the years, we do have classes that are set up. If someone wants to become a home health care aide or a personal care aide, we do provide the education and training for it where you can get it. You'd really have to go to whatever branch you want, be it in Newburgh, Kingston, or New City, or even New York City. Then you would be able to, you know, fill out the application. And if we sense that you would make a good fit as far as working, we would be able to have you enroll in that particular class. There is no charge for the class. However, we want to make sure that these are good individuals that are going to hold the A&T high standard of care, which we always strive to continue to do, and as we do the same on this particular radio show.
And the next class is in our Ulster County branch in Kingston, and it starts November 9th. And if you're interested, you can call that branch at 331-7868.
Okay. Right now, if anyone has any comments or questions that they may have, we're talking about seasonal affective disorder. The phone number is 845-651-1110. That's 651-1110. We're talking about, we're saying how like the seasons change. Don't forget to turn your clock ahead on Saturday night before
right.
you go to bed.
It's actually 2 o'clock that time. 1 o'clock in the morning on Sunday.
But different people can react differently. Ann, could you go over some of the risk factors that may increase a person's risk where they may actually be affected by a seasonal affective disorder, also known as SAD, S-A-D?
Yes. More often, women are more affected by it than men. But men, if they are affected, have more severe symptoms. Young people actually have a higher risk than older adults. If you have a family history of someone who has had seasonal affective or has seasonal affective disorder, or actually any form of depression, you might be at risk. If you do have a diagnosis of clinical depression or bipolar disorder, that also could be a risk factor for you. We talked about our circadian rhythm, which is your biological clock. And again, I just want to remind you that it's a reduced level of sunlight.
Very
in
simple.
The fall.
Yes, very simple.
We have no choice. There's not too much we can do about these season changes. And actually, we enjoy the season changes.
Right.
Who live in the southern states. They don't have that opportunity that we have up here in the north. So
I know they even talk about people in the from the equator and stuff. Like sometimes they have like several months or something, and you know they're all like varying degrees of how it can be exposed. But as I said, this is something that you know you would have to determine how yourself is. And as we always talk about, not that we cannot make a diagnosis of depression, but many times when you really are not doing the things that you really enjoy so much. And now you're not doing it. Well, that's usually a clue that, gee, something isn't right, okay? Because
right.
if something that you do that you have so much enjoyment, now you're not doing it, well, something may be bothering you. You may have to look at it. Are there any complications?
Like I said before, of course, complications could be thoughts of suicide or that type of behavior, being so socially withdrawn, difficulty with school or work. You might find you're not able to accomplish tasks. Maybe your teenager might be having trouble finishing their homework and things like that, or maybe not doing as well on tests. Substance abuse. People might find they need to take something to help them sleep or, you know, help to alleviate what the symptoms are. But you should certainly see a doctor if you find that these things are not getting better.
We'll talk about
a little bit about what you can do just for all of us, but there are some treatments as well.
Right, I know, and it's always like everything. Like there, for this particular thing, it's like anytime I always stress. Whenever you're preparing an appointment with a doctor, write it down. Don't think about it. Write it down before you go. And something like this, it really would probably be very important. Just in the sense, this isn't. You know, this is like, gee, I have a pain in my right shoulder every time I lift my arm up, and you know, that's something that's very clear. But something like this, it may be a little more nebulous and wouldn't be as clear cut. You know, just like, you know, how right. your symptoms are, like how you're feeling, the lack of energy. Make sure you write down it specifically. And what we always say is that, and I teach this in all my classes, give objective information, not subjective. And the major difference, you don't say, gee, I'm not feeling good. That's subjective because a lot of people can interpret it very differently. Someone's not feeling good because the Mets are down two games. That's subjective. Whereas objectively, you would say, gee, I'm not hungry. I have no hunger, or have a cramp in my stomach or something like that. But always make sure that you write all that information down if you did want to discuss it.
And, you know, a lot of times you can just see your family doctor, your primary, you know, caregiver. You don't have to see a psychiatrist for this right away. This is something that can be screened by your private physician, and because it's possible that these things are related to something medical as well. You know, symptoms might look like one thing, but it could be related to something else going on. So seeing your primary physician is usually the first choice.
Yeah, and like we were even talking about, like if you're eating too much, you're not getting exercise, that could exacerbate other problems. If you have hypertension, or you may have, you know, like diabetes or something like that, that also could be exacerbated doing the actual activity. What are some simple treatments for this, Anne? I know like it's a little more involved like with your doctor, but there are some basic things that
can
be done.
There are some just basic things for treatment of seasonal affective disorder, and that's light therapy, getting more light, getting more sunlight. Light therapy is also called phototherapy, and usually it's sitting a few feet from a special light therapy box, which kind of mirrors sunlight.
I mean, that's always the nicest way to wake up, believe it or not, is that just have the windows open, I'm sorry, the blinds open and have the sunlight come in. That's like an easy transition as far as like, as far as waking up. But I know they do say that is that, you know, in this particular time, just like your adjustment, as they say, you know, there can be varying degrees of this. I think right now we're talking someone, if it's a little more extreme, where you would have to see your doctor. But really, just when you get up in the morning.
I wouldn't just go out and purchase a light therapy box.
Right. Yeah, always go out to, you know, a lot of times it's saying like as soon as you get up, just turn on the lights. Make sure that the lights are on so that you just see it. And that's something that is able, to react accordingly.
Of course, people who are diagnosed with seasonal affective disorder, which, like we've been saying, is a form of depression, it could be treated with an antidepressive medication. So, you know, that's where your physician and possibly a psychiatrist would then be recommending these type of treatments. And also psychotherapy, you know, talking about how you feel and ways of coping with these symptoms that you have can be very helpful. And it also gets you out and, you know, talking to somebody.
You know, I don't have, like, the history. I don't know when I was doing, like, the research on it. But the idea, this isn't something that, you know, has been around since the 20s and stuff. It maybe has been gone around. But it wasn't until, like, the later years that they've realized, wait a second, this is something that's actually taking place, that people are, they're seeing that these symptoms are occurring at this specific time. And that's when all the research was coming, that this is something that can happen. Mm-hmm. Okay, this isn't something like you that realized you had a, you know, like some other, like high blood sugar or something like that that we've known about. But this is something that they realized that there was some kind of a pattern in terms of more and more people were actually coming down with symptoms like this on or about the time when we started becoming darker at night and earlier at night, as well as, you know, not having the, you know, less hours of the day.
Right. And so there are some things in our everyday life that we can do to help us cope with the changes of the season and the changes in our circadian rhythm or our biological rhythm. Get some sunlight. Get some light. take a walk at lunchtime when the sun is highest. Be outdoors as often as you can. I mean, so I know it's going to get cold, but we can bundle up, put on some gloves and hat and scarf and go outside and just get a little sunlight and fresh air. Exercise as much as you're able to. Of course, you're not going to be doing strenuous exercises if you're not able to, but maybe just some stretching and taking a walk is also very helpful. If you're one of the lucky people, you can take a winter vacation.
I know. I was going to say that is that, you know, I a lot of times when I say, oh, it's getting cold, I'm in all depressed, you have to watch who you're speaking to. Sometimes they say, oh, I love when it's cold. I'm a skier. I love to go out
That's
there.
That's right. But you know, you're a skier. You're outside during the day in sunlight, getting fresh air, exercising, and you feel good.
Yeah.
You know, but if that's not your thing, mm-hmm. you know, certainly if you're able to get to sunnier places, good for you.
Yeah. I like the winter when it's in a sunny and warm place.
Certainly getting some natural light into your home, opening the blinds as early as you can in the morning so that, you know, you can get the natural light into the house is really important. It makes your environment sunnier, brighter. Certainly, if you have a skylight, that helps in your home. You don't have to go put one in, but if it's there, that's good. Try to sit closer to the window, when you're at work, if you can. Like I said, get outside and take a walk. If you can, eat your lunch outside. It's not been the last few winters haven't been conducive to that. Certainly it helps.
Okay. You listen to Health Matters. My name is Peter Fella from A&T Healthcare. And when we come back, we'll continue to talk more about things that you can do to prevent seasonal affective disorder.
A&T Healthcare is a full-service home healthcare agency that works closely with your hospital discharge planner and other referral sources to ensure that all of you or your loved one's home healthcare needs are met. They provide short or long-term hourly or live-in home healthcare aides, LPNs, and highly trained and qualified nurses and therapists as needed. A&T Healthcare has earned a reputation for dependability, responsiveness, and personalized attention. By working in conjunction with nursing departments, HMOs, managed care insurance companies, and other referral sources, they act as facilitators in planning and anticipating patients' needs at home. A&T Healthcare hires the most qualified pediatric, high-tech RNs and LPNs. They provide care with the utmost compassion and sensitivity. A&T Healthcare are committed to providing their pediatric and adult patients with the highest standards of nursing care. By providing high-caliber, reliable nurses and high-quality service, A&T Healthcare consistently delivers more value for each dollar spent. Call 845-638-4342 or visit at-healthcare.com.
This is Marina Case, principal designer of the Red Shutters in downtown Warwick. Tune in every Tuesday at 12 noon and join me for The Style Show, a show about decorating, fashion, and fun on WTBQ Radio worth listening to.
Hi, this is Dan Castricone. Join me every Thursday at 12:30 for the Dan Castricone Radio Show. We'll take your phone calls, have exciting guests, talk about current events, maybe a little politics. Thursdays at 12:30 on WTBQ Radio worth listening to.
WTBQ.
And welcome back to Health Matters. My name is Peter Fella, the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. And joining me is my wife, Ann Fella, also from A&T Healthcare. We're talking this morning, our topic is on seasonal affective disorder. And one of the things that we keep stressing, and you always hear like a common theme, but we were talking about home environment. As I said, you know, there it can be just a mild case of just like the winter blues. It's cold. I can't go outside. You know, I'm this sort of, all those things that play into it. Whereas it can, you know, progress to a more serious thing where you actually feel depressed. Okay, we have a form of depression, which clearly you should seek medical attention. But there are some general guidelines that we've been talking about in the home environment as far as like helping with seasonal affective disorder. And I think what Ann kept playing up is that going outdoors in the sunlight. I have to stress this so much. But one of the important things to remember that, and I always do this, is that in the winter months, if it is ever sunny, you should really go outside, bundle up, and kind of look up at that sun with your eyes closed, of course, or have sunglasses on, and try to take in some vitamin D. As you know, vitamin D is natural. And I always talk about this. That's been one of the wonder drugs. And I'm not saying to anyone to please start taking vitamin D. I know you can buy it over the counter. It's something, everything, as I always say, you should discuss with your physician. However, you can get some free vitamin D just by stepping outside and getting the sunlight.
That's true.
As I said at the very beginning, and I was saying how so often when the sun is shining and the sky is clear, you just feel better. You just want to lift your head up. And that's why I'm saying in the winter months, you know, you have to bundle up. You're not necessarily going to be outside as often unless you're a skier. But the idea is that just to get that. But that's vitamin D, and that's very good for you. I know one of the things that they I know with my cardiologist is that vitamin D is very good for your cardiac function. But then it also has the defining some redeeming values as far as your joints and that sort of stuff, that you do get it. But being active, okay, we always say that. Anytime you're being active, that's like something that anyone can do. And as I said, it doesn't mean that you have to run a 3K relay or something like that but just as far as getting outside and moving around. And that's what we were saying before, how you know, you like to do gardening or cutting the lawn or things like that. Well, you're not going to be able to do it in the wintertime. Well, therefore, it's something that you really would be able to, you know, you still have to get outdoors and you still have to do something as far as being active. And just those little changes, just by keeping the blinds up for a longer period of time or sitting by the sun, those are all things that are very helpful as far as like, you know, adapting to this particular change in the season. I know we've been seeing it now, but we're really going to feel it as of Saturday when we have to turn the clocks. You fall back. It took me so long to remember that. You fall back. You spring forward. I didn't realize that until maybe like 10 years ago. Oh, wait, now I get it. They would say that, but I never got the
wasn't clicking,
huh? The actual connection on it.
So there are some things that you can do to help you through these things, like we've been saying, getting some sunlight. You can also get some mind and body therapies, such as acupuncture. Take a yoga class. I have to say my kids go to yoga all the time, and they really enjoy it. And now my grandson is doing his yoga moves, too. Meditation, guided meditation or guided imagery, and massage therapy. All these things help. And also in coping with this, and when you seek treatment and you have a treatment plan set up, it's important to stick with your treatment plan. Take the medications, you know, that your physician has prescribed, attend therapy appointments and such as scheduled. It is important. Take care of yourself. Definitely you have to get enough rest and you have to take time to relax. But at the same time, you need to also keep moving and be engaged in other forms of activity. Make healthy choices with meals and snacks. Try not to turn to alcohol to help alleviate symptoms. Alcohol is actually depressive.
Right, yeah, so that would really exacerbate. We always stress that. It's like you never, you know, it's always one thing we talk about like social drinking, but you never say, gee, I'm feeling down, let me have a drink, okay? Because that isn't
most
really,
likely isn't
that, that's not going
to fix the
problem.
Might put you to sleep, but it might, yeah, might not help.
And might not have good sleep anyway, but it also affects maybe go to sleep.
Mm-hmm. You know, practice stress management. I think we had several, maybe a month or so ago, a program on managing your stress, and certainly managing your stress and learning techniques to help you deal with these changes is important. So we can always go on our website and you can listen to one of those programs as well. And socialize. I know it's hard to get out when the weather is cold and dark, but you know, socialization, a book club might be helpful, a senior group, just going out and having a cup of coffee in the local coffee shop.
Right, just interacting with people.
Interacting with people is always very important with the socialization.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I don't want to digress, but I know that's always one of the concerns is that when the winter gets cold, people don't want to go outside because they're afraid of falling and that sort of stuff. And that's something that you really have to, you know, try to temper it somewhat in the sense that a lot of times people are afraid of not going outside because they don't want to fall. However, by not being active, that increases their risk of having a fall. It's like catch.
Your mobility is changing.
It is important that you do get outside as much as you can, just as far as like being active.
Mm-hmm. So there's no known way to prevent the development of seasonal affective disorder, we can't change our seasons. You can certainly manage the symptoms, like we've said, and maybe prevent some symptoms from occurring by, getting out and doing things. One thing I always say to myself when it's, 5 o'clock and it's dark, it's like, okay, well, if it were summer, you wouldn't be like sitting here, you would be finding things to do. And so I try to get myself to do things. Certainly, people find it helpful to begin treatment before symptoms even start. That's why getting out and exercising, going outside every day and getting some fresh air and sunlight, those kind of things will help.
I do remember my long time ago, Anne, it was I used to work at Montefiore, and I used to work the 12-hour shift from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. I always remember in the wintertime, it was just so
you probably never saw this
daylight.
Because
you left in the dark and you came home in the dark.
And you do kind of feel that way. You never see daylight.
And it was just like, oh, boy. And as I said, this is on a smaller scale. However, it's something that can progress, and that's really where you have to be mindful of.
Right. And certainly if your symptoms get worse, you want to reach out and get some assistance.
Well, that's really a very... one of the things that I said at the beginning, I said that this was one of the topics that they asked me to speak on. And, I did the research and I found it fascinating. I said, Dan, this would be a great show, particularly now. This is the time we're having the seasonal change. I do have to do a shout out is that there is a caregivers conference, which I will be speaking at. I just wanted to give, Joanne was not able to call in on it, but it's going to be next Thursday, November 5th from 5:30 to 8:30, and it's going to be at Rosedale Recreational Center, and that's 1055 Route 32, Rosedale, New York. And the speakers will be talking about hospice, some talk on, arrangements for funeral homes, and I will be speaking there, and I will be talking on medication safety. Okay, that's one of the topics. I know we've had it here, but I always find it very interesting. But as I said, look on the caregivers conference there at Ulster County. I know it's a little bit farther from here, but we just wanted to give you, some information that this was available. Do we cover everything, Anne? I'm trying to think. I believe we did, but we had a lot of updated things that we had to take care of, which I thought were very, very helpful, particularly about what's happening with the mammograms, about like changing the times and that sort of stuff. Anyway, we talked about Movember, okay?
Movember starts Sunday, so you can grow a beard or a mustache, go for it.
Right, that's what it is. And as I said, if you grow a mustache, don't say, I'm trying to bring back the Burt Reynolds look or something like that.
Selleck, Burt Reynolds.
Or Tom, whatever. But the purpose of it is that someone says, you're growing a mustache, and then you just really comment, it's for Movember. I did read some of those particular numbers.
Right, and that's for men's health awareness.
Men's health awareness. And we have to get a nice guest on that. Let me see if I can get one of the doctors as far as like calling in, because good. I think that's a very good topic. It looks like we're about out of time. We want to remember that if you could please follow us on Facebook, okay? And I think this information, Anne, I think you said you're going to make this into a blog. Is that right?
Yes, this will be one of the blogs on our website.
And really, we want all your calls and your feedback. As I said, we're very committed to bringing you health matters, because your health does matter. And I think what's important to remember is that always like pay attention. Healthy lifestyles is something you have to do. You don't just do it for a period of time and then you forget about it, but it's something that you have to make it a part of your life. And just making minor changes can certainly make a big difference. So as I said, follow us on Facebook. And as I always like to end our show is that, you know, please stay healthy because your health matters. And to you, your family and friends, all the best. And we will see you next week. Thank you so much for joining us on Health Matters.